Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going. Hello. Hi there. And how are you today? I'm so glad you are here. Welcome, welcome. Today, I want to kind of talk about an idea that I think is really helpful when trying to shift your mindset around writing instruction. And what I have found in my experience with teachers, and even when I transitioned over to this kind of workshop model writing, I've realized that one of the things is not the not wanting to change writing instruction, or even not, understanding the concept of the structure of writer's workshop. It's really more about the understanding of writing itself and what writing is and how I can help teachers shift from teaching the writing to teaching the writer. I talk about that all the time, but it really is a shift. And recently I had done a workshop training that was titled Unveiling the Artistry of Teaching Writing. I actually stole that title from the Teach Me Teacher podcast episode I was on with Mr. Jacob Chastain. That's what he titled it, because I talked about this idea that I'm going to talk about a little bit today. But, I think is that writing has been turned into math, or to a subject that is like math, when writing really is an art. And so that's what I kind of want to talk about today. I want you to think about what the goal of math is. So meaning, if you are a math teacher, and regardless of what grade you're teaching, when you have this student leave high school, what do you want them to be able to do with math or as a mathematician? And actually, to take it a little bit further, when you think about jobs that entail math for the majority of the job, so an engineer or a scientist, I don't know, there's other jobs where you have to use math. I don't know those jobs. But when you think about it, the goal of that job, or the goal of using math inside of that job, is that you have to get it right. There is a right and there is a wrong. You're creating a project of some sort. You have to use different formulas or architecture, right? You have to get it right. If you are a civil engineer and you are building bridges and things, you have to get the math right. That's all there is to it. It's right or it's wrong. But when you think about writing, and so you're a writing teacher and you're thinking about students graduating high school and they are using writing in their career. So it could be something small, because a lot of careers you need to be able to write and communicate with others in written form. But there's also careers that are writing, journalism, writing scripts for plays, or being a scientific journal, like writing, scientific articles or research articles in different areas. Writing novels, all of this. The goal there is what? The goal would be for you to be able to create an original piece of writing that is either strong in its persuasion, right, or strong in its creativity and enjoyment and storytelling in different areas. But there is no right and wrong. Yes, you have to write it maybe with a certain structure in order for it to be a good piece of writing. There are rules to follow, capitals and punctuation, yes. But there is no right or wrong, like in math. Now, in math, there might be a few different ways to come to the same conclusion of a problem. Like, we've learned with the new math, Common Core math, that there are all these different ways to be able to do, long division or two-digit addition or whatever it might be. There are different ways maybe to get to the answer, but the answer has to be right or wrong, right? But everyone has to come to the same answer in math. But in writing, that is not the case. You have to use certain tools or techniques, but you do not have to arrive with the same or get to the same outcome or product. And in that way, to me, writing is a lot more like art. So when you think about artists, and there's so many forms of art, but if you think about painting or sketching or sculptures, there are people out there who judge those types of things, or just the people who decide they want to spend money on it. And maybe they look for certain things, techniques that artists use, but ultimately they're choosing an original piece of artwork. And a teacher of art is going to teach students several techniques to use, but ultimately they just want to grow those artists into confident, you know, strong, capable artists that can create their own work. That's why for me, writing is a lot more like art than it is like math. However, when you think about the way that writing is often taught, it is taught much more like math or really any other subject than it is like art. So for example, when you are teaching a certain formula in math, see, I'm so much of a not a math person, I can't even think of the right word to use for this. But you might be able to lay out for your students the steps in order to solve this problem, this, you know, master this formula. You might even be able to show them there's a couple different orders that you could use or different strategies for solving it. But ultimately, you can give it to them. You can say, this is the way you're going to fill it out, or here's a couple choices. And then you teach them the steps the formula they have to use to be able to answer it. And then when it's done, it is right or it's wrong. That's it. That's all there is to it. And so when we think about things in writing that are somewhat similar to that, for example, a graphic organizer. A graphic organizer is, in this case, I'm thinking, okay, you're doing, you know, third grade, they're writing an informational book, and you give them a graphic organizer that shows them, or maybe it's this, actually what I'm picturing is more like a paragraph, I guess, but you have, okay, here's your topic, here's where you write your topic sentence. Here's fact one, fact two, fact three, or maybe you broke it up into chapters, and then here's where you put your closing sentence. So now everybody has the same thing, the same structure. Everybody has the same number of facts. Maybe even you have a fact, and then, you know, something underneath to explain it more in third grade. But everybody has that. And I'm going to try not even get into the point that you're not teaching them how to write an essay if you're just giving them that for the whole unit. But everyone, the thing is, that graphic organizer is then teaching the writing and not the writer, because all you're worried about is the outcome. All you're worried about is that at the end, they are all going to have this. And there's almost no way for them to not have it unless they just don't fill it in, because you've laid it out for them. So then they just end up pretty much taking that and copying it, or, you know, turning it into more complete sentences. And now you have this piece of writing and it looks the same for everybody. Now, can you take that and then try to teach into it voice or elaboration? You could, but that doesn't typically happen. Right. So that's what I'm thinking about. When writing is taught like math, because we're thinking that the product has to look the same for everyone, we're just worried about the outcome of this product. And in order for us to know if it's done well, we need it to all look the same. And that kind of brings me to the reasons why I think that writing has been turned into math, or that, you know, for a long time it was taught like math, because I don't think this is a new thing. I do know that there are plenty of schools and plenty of teachers out there who teach writing in a much more art-like way. I mean, I've learned from those teachers. I've studied teachers that do that work. But I also know that I've been, you know, reading books written quite a few many years ago, like when I was young, and you know, and I know from my own experience as a student, the way writing was taught, it was very much either copying or doing something altogether, having an exact, you know, format for a topic sentence, three body sentences and one closing sentence, and all about fall or whatever it might have been. And, you know, so honestly, when we were younger, there really wasn't even much to it. We didn't think about the writing process all that much. Teachers would edit things and teachers would tell us, oh no, that you don't have enough, put more there, or you can say this. And that was about it. But so that was definitely so far away from what we know writers can do now. But what I see most often in writing instruction now is that traditional type of teaching writing, where it is all about the writing and not the writer, and where we have things that everyone does together. It is very controlled. Teachers want to be able to say, no, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. They think they need to do so much of the work. They need to make decisions for our writers. And so I was saying, I'm going to talk about why. Well, I think that one, grading has come into play. And I think this is also an issue in art, because there's report cards and there's a way that you're supposed to grade students. They get grades in art, and a lot of them are probably about participation and effort, but that's why there shouldn't even be a grade. But so we have these grades and we're supposed to say how their students are doing. And even if you don't have a separate writing grade, you have it in, you know, literacy, and you have to put something down for it. And so you feel like you have to assess it. In order to assess it, you have to feel like there is a way to assess it that's not subjective, because we don't give ourselves that autonomy as teachers to be able to decide. But we think there has to be a way to do it. And so we have these expectations, and we want, then, in order to feel like we can grade them, we want to know, okay, well, they pretty much look the same. They all have this. They all have this. And in order to get that, we then control the way that it's done, because then we're worried about the writing and what it looks like instead of growing a writer. And in order to grow an artist, in order to grow a writer, you have to help them be able to learn how to do it and how to do it on their own, how to follow the process of writing, and what, you know, what are some things that good writers do. That's what we have to teach them. But because we have a way we have to grade it, it turns into this traditional way of teaching. I think also what has happened, and I don't know when, you know, or why, but teachers don't feel like they know enough about being a good writer in order to teach writing. Now, was this the case when I was young, or did we just not think that we, as students of first, second grade, were capable of doing much writing? Or were we focusing on the transcription part of writing and not the composing part of writing? And I've talked about this before. What does writing mean to you? I'll have to add the episode number in the show notes. But I think that's a lot of it too. We're focused on the writing and what it looks like, but we're not making sure we teach about the composing part of writing and how you can create, how you understand genres and be able to write them. And since we don't teach that, or we feel like we don't know how to teach, then we have to turn it into, this is what it looks like, this is how it should be, here's your graphic organizer, and let's see, you know, what your product ends up looking like. So, you know, we could get into a whole discussion on grades and how that could be changed and all of that. I don't want to get into that, but that's just a few of my insights onto why I think we hold on to wanting to have so much control and teach it like math instead of teaching it like art. So I want to give an example of, or kind of explain a little bit more, this idea of teaching the writer and not the writing. And I'm actually going to use math for a minute, because when you think about teaching, you know, a certain way to solve a problem to students in math, you teach them the steps and you do it with them, you know, everyone does it together, and then you start to release it where you say, okay, I just did this part, now what do we do? Right? And they have to try to think what happens next on their own, whether they look at something that's showing it to them, or then eventually they try not to even look at that and they think of it on their own. What can they do? And then do they do it on their own? Right? But they have to be able to come up with the next step independently so that they can eventually do this whole problem on their own. Now, they still have to come up with the same answer. But in writing, I feel like this is the part that's also missing, is making sure that we focus on the writers knowing what to do and being able to independently move through the actions of being a writer. And this could be through the writing process or parts of the process where they're using certain strategies in order to make something happen. So for example, if we're giving students a planner, which could be a graphic organizer, and we're saying, okay, here is how you're going to plan this, so fill it out. What we really want to be able to do is say, okay, students, you're going to write whatever it might be, okay, this type of writing or in this genre. This is what we're going to do. How might you be able to plan in order to start drafting your writing? That's the difference. Instead of giving them the way to plan and giving them only one way to plan, we want them to know how to plan. Now, we might need to teach different ways to do that, but when you just give them a graphic organizer, you're not really teaching them how to do it. You're just giving them something to fill out. Now, could that be a way that they plan? Maybe. But that's what I mean by the actions of the writer. So then let's move from the planner to the drafting part. Well, first of all, they're not always going to use that graphic organizer to plan. They're not going to grow up keeping that in their folder forever and going to use it every time they write that certain type of writing. What they need to be able to do is know what kind of plan works best for them. How do they plan? And we all know that we are all, if you go to write something, depending on what it is, there's going to be a different way that you're going to plan it out or not plan it out. I don't plan well at all. Sometimes it works for me, sometimes it doesn't, and I have to go back and do it. But they're not going to take that with them. So we need them to not only know a way to plan, but then know how to use that planner to move on into drafting and then, you know, revise their draft so that it gets even better. Those are the in-between steps that we don't focus on to make sure they know how to do it. So, you know, so let's say they're drafting and we notice that they're not writing incomplete sentences. And in most of the time, so let's say they use their graphic organizer, I could say, well, most of the time what you're going to hear is, I see you have this on the planner, but then in the graphic organizer, you're supposed to turn it into full sentences. So that means you should write this, and then you let them go on their way, when really we want them to be able to notice that they didn't do that, right? So I think we forget those steps of, you know, even in math, you have to eventually have these students be able to independently move through the process. And we need them to be able to independently in writing, not only move through the process, but make decisions and know how to do things on their own as writers. So as I mentioned before, I think one of the issues that teachers have is they feel like they don't know how to help a student then, you know, become this writer that's a unique writer. But I think what's important to remember is that if you're trying to help someone be unique, then you need to just let them do it. That's the freedom in it, that we're not trying to get them to get to a certain result, although we want them to use certain tools and we can teach those tools and we can show them plenty of examples, just like in art class, you're going to show them all these different pieces of art. But our job is to allow them to become independent writers. So you have to let them be independent in order to allow that to happen. And so it's almost freeing. Like, you are not in control anymore. They are. You don't have to tell them what to do. They do. And so you can teach them. And there are plenty of things that you know as a writer in order to teach them. And honestly, what I tell my teachers all the time is that when you look at what your students can do independently, you learn what you need to teach them. Because you look at it and you say, okay, they're doing this, but we really need to do this. And that's what you show them, right? Or you sit and do some of the writing on your own and you'll start to say, oh, this is what I really need them to do. You ask them questions and you start to hear what they understand, what they don't. And now you know what to help them with. So it's really great that we want them to be independent, because then we can allow them to be independent while we're teaching and know that it's not on us. Like, it is not our job to fix their writing. It is our job to teach them ways that they can write and then see how they can do it. Because writing isn't math. There is no right or wrong answer. There are just things they can do to be able to write better. That's what I try to get teachers and schools to understand, so that students can write on their own and make progress and become the writers we want them to be. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
again. I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.